So this morning we're going to look at the idea that the Word is living. The words in these pages, are not merely something written thousands of years ago. They are not something that was just kind of created to have some sort of history book to look at. Some sort of memoir of God's people. That's not the idea. No, the Word is living. It is breathing. It's alive. The Word convicted. It convicts, it comforts, and it instructs. So our passage this morning is from Hebrews 4:12, which says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." God has been so good to us, hasn't He? Not only did He create everything and everyone, not only did He send Jesus, the Word, among us to live with us, not only did He send His Son to be our atoning sacrifice, to die a horrific death on the cross, and taking our punishment once and for all, not only did He do all that, but He left His Spirit behind. And that teaches us and guides. But He also left us His Word. These pages. His Word changes. His Word teaches. His Word is life. His Word is powerful, and it is life-changing. You got to read it. You got to digest it. Have you ever been guilty of saying, and I'm going to be the first one to admit this, "Man, I wish God would just talk to me." Or, "God, can you just tell me what to do here? God, a little help, please." Anybody ever been guilty of that besides me? He actually has never said this to me, but he should have said, "Hey, Sobek, you've got 39 copies of the Bible in your house. Why don't you pick it up and read it?" You know, one of the greatest stories of in Acts, it's one of my favorites, is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. You guys know this story. Philip is walking along, he's led by the Spirit, and God instructs Philip. He's like, "Hey, there is a guy in a chariot that is stopped, and he is reading a scroll of the law. Go teach him. Go explain it to him." And so the Ethiopian eunuch is there, and he's reading this scroll, and he's like, "I can't understand what this is saying. How can I ever know?" And Philip takes that opportunity and says, "Here's what that means." And he tells them about the good news of Jesus. And he tells them about how Jesus came for him. And he came for all of the world. And that he died on the cross so that he could take away the sin of both Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch. And he says, "And all you have to do is believe. Is give your life to Him, to sacrifice what you want for now what He wants." And it says that the eunuch that day was riding along and there was a stream. And while he was being explained this, he was convicted and he said, "Look, there's water. How about I get baptized right now?" And him and his entire house became members of the kingdom of God that day. The Word. The Word is powerful. And one of my favorite stories ever, and I know I've told it to you before, but my great-grandfather started the Christian church in Korea. Japan had invaded, and so he went to the Salvation Army thinking it was an army to overthrow the Japanese government. He was pretty surprised when he got there and found out that wasn't the case. They gave him a blanket and a Bible and said, "Here, be blessed." So my great-grandfather was running from the Japanese because he had gotten into some trouble, and he goes, holes up in a cave, and starts reading the New Testament. 3 days after he started reading the New Testament, he came out of that cave. He said, "I need to be baptized." And then he went on to start churches, orphanages, Christian colleges, all in the name of Jesus. But do you know why? It's because he opened the Word of God and the Spirit spoke to him. And folks, let me tell you this right now. That same Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to change your life. He wants to set the world on fire for you because of His Word. All you got to do is open it, and it'll transform and change your life. What's stopping you? Do you need a Bible? I've got tons, brand new ones. I've got a devotional Bible. I've got pew Bibles. If you want a Bible, you can see me and I'll get you a devotional Bible. If you just want a Bible that has the words of God in it, reach under your pew. Take a Bible home with you. We got more. We'll replenish them. Take a Bible. There is no other book, there is no other piece of literature, there is nothing else that can change your life. Not Oprah's bestsellers, not some self-help book, not some psychology book. There is no book ever that will change your life. Because no book besides the Scripture, besides the Word of God, is inspired by God. None. So if you want a Bible, grab one, take it, write your name in it, and read it. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the Word. The Word is, number one, everlasting and timeless. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 says, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." You know, we talked about this passage in the first sermon of the series, but notice some key words in this passage. The first one is that you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. Now that is past tense. That means that it was you long ago. You were taught the Word. You were taught the Scriptures. It's past tense. Now look at these words. To receive the salvation is inspired by God and useful to teach us. It corrects us. God uses it to prepare and equip. All of those are present active tense, which means it is ongoing on and on and on and on. For as long as you draw breath, as long as there is life on this earth, those things will continue. Present active tense. That means it's ongoing for all of eternity. So here's what that means about God's Word. That yes, it was in the past and you learned it in the past, but guess what? All the things that it says here go on and on and on. It corrects us, it teaches us, it guides us, it helps us. It is our guiding beacon. It is a lamp unto our feet. So here's what that means. The Word was good yesterday, it is good today, and it will continue to be good for all time. The Word is everlasting. Literally, it will go on and on and on. Mark 13:31, you know it? "Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear." With that in mind, the Word is timeless. It is always relevant. It always speaks to the big ideas that happen in the world. Of course, the Word doesn't talk specifically about every unique issue that is happening today, nor should it. Let me tell you something. Social media is full of bad takes on Scripture, saying that the Bible foretold of Facebook doing this or that, Bill Gates, that he was going to do this or that, or we have a cashless society, this or that, or the vaccine is evil, this or that. I mean, whatever bad take you can read on Facebook, it's out there. There's tons of them. I want us to remember that the first step of interpreting the Bible is reading and studying the Bible well. That's what that means. Is I want us to remember that the Bible was written to a specific group of people for a specific reason at a specific time. Very little to none of it is talking about some event that is happening today. Trump, Biden, Pelosi, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, cashless society, the vaccine, blah, 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 like all the, and however many other conspiracies you want to talk about. All that is poor interpretation. It is. It's usually shared to make Christians seem like suckers or to fish for your information so they can rob you blind. And the question is, how do I know this? Because all of these things are American. And I hate to tell, if you don't know this yet, you should know this pretty quickly. The Bible never talks about America. The Bible didn't know about America because the Bible was written thousands and thousands of years ago. America is not even a thought in the Scriptures. That doesn't mean, of course, that there aren't things for us to read and glean, because the Word of God is living and it's true, right? But all these things, all these doomsday prophecies that we read and people harp about, most of those things already happened. Because the end of the world happened for the Jewish people, the God's people, the nation of Israel. Those things all happened when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So all those scriptures that people talk about, oh, it's this and this is going to happen, all those things happened in 70 AD. The stuff that we have to look forward to is the coming of Jesus again, His kingdom, and the fact that we are going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. That's the truth that we need to grab onto. That's the conspiracy, if you will, is that God loved us so much that He scandalously took all of our punishment on Himself. That's a conspiracy that you can bank on. So, a few great questions for all of us to ask ourselves so we might read and think about the Bible and our reading of it more effectively. Number one, what was happening at that time? Two, what was God specifically telling His people to do in that situation? And three, is there anything I can apply to my life in light of what God told His people to do in light of their situation? Number two, the Word is alive and active. You know, look at that first part of verse 12. It says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful." The New International Version translates that as alive and active. Now remember, all the present active words in 2 Timothy. You know, the Word isn't some dead book written in an ancient dead language. The Word is alive and active and challenges us today. I want you to just listen to a few verses. Romans 10, 17. "So faith comes from hearing," that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Acts 2, 37. "Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Ephesians 6:17, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. John 6:63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. None of those passages seem like they were written for the past, right? No, these passages are addressing the people right then and there, but every one of those carries forward into eternity. Every one of those passages are also for us today. Hearing the good news, we need that. Realizing that Jesus was killed by us and our sin, we need that today. Our sin put Jesus on the cross, and we all must ask the question, what should we do? We all need to take up our swords, which is not our physical sword, but our swords. The words of Jesus, and stand firm. We all need life. We all need the words of Jesus to give us Spirit and life. Number three, the Word cuts and exposes. Hebrews 4:12, it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Okay, show of hands. When I read that just now, did anybody else start singing in their head, Bryan Adams, Cuts Like a Knife? Cuts like a knife, and it feels so right. No, okay, nobody, just me? All right, good. God's Word does exactly that. It cuts like a knife, like a sword, which makes sense, right? In these pages, we learn about His unfailing love, His kindness, His goodness. We see the ways that He has always been faithful and how His people, and yes, that's us, have not been so faithful. We see forgiveness, mercy, and love continually poured out on our heads while we continually heap insult, ridicule, and betrayal on His. In these pages, we can see God's nature, His character, His holiness. And when we lay that alongside our own lives, it cuts and exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes who we really are. And we realize that we don't add up. We don't stack up, and we are continually found unworthy. The Word sometimes is a sword, is sometimes a set of pruning shears, and sometimes it's a scalpel. The Word does all of these things and many more. Hear this, though. God does not come at you with any of those things with bad intentions. We can always trust Him, the giver of life. Sometimes there are parts of us that need to die. Sometimes there are parts of us that need to be cut back. And sometimes there are parts of us that need to be delicately removed so that the great physician can heal us and can heal our spirits. Number four, last one. The Word heals. The 19th century theologian J.B. Lightfoot said, "The sharp sword of God's Word heals most completely where it wounds most deeply and gives life there only where first it has killed." I don't want to come at this too lightly. There are most definitely some things in our lives that need to die, that need to be killed off. Our addictions, our pride, our reliance on money and power, our nationalism, our superiority, our intellect, our false righteousness, all those things need to die. God is asking all of us to allow Him to kill those in our lives. Not because He doesn't love us, but because He does love us. Listen, I have to constantly reassure my children when I punish them. Daddy is not punishing you because he doesn't love you. But because I love you so much, I need to correct these things now before we have a much bigger problem on our hands. Some of those things that I correct in my children's lives, I have allowed to fester in my own life for 43 years now. And now they are bigger than I can handle, bigger than I can conquer on my own. And I have to invite God to be my physician, to be my gardener, and to be my surgeon. I have to allow Him to cut away the portions of my life that are killing me so that I can be healed, whole, and fully loved. That is our only hope. Our only hope is that there is something sharp enough and powerful enough to penetrate through all the deception and shed light on my thoughts and my intentions. And that's what Hebrews 4:12 is all about this morning. John Piper said, "The Word of God is our only hope. The good news of God's promises and the warnings of His judgment are sharp enough and living enough and active enough to penetrate to the bottom of my heart and show me that the lies of sin are indeed lies." And so we end this message at a point of crisis. You have heard the Word of God. Much has been exposed to your own conscience this morning. And now, as verse 13 says, "No one is hidden from God's sight, but all things are open and laid bare before His eyes." His gaze is upon you. What will you do with what He has exposed and what He is now watching? I hope this morning the answer is this: to turn from the deceptive promise of sin and trust in the all-satisfying promises of God, found in here.